Good morning, Little Saigon. It is Saturday, June the 8th, 2019. It's a wonderful Saturday morning, kind of early. And yet, already my day on this beautiful Saturday is turning into a fuckaroo. So, I have to talk about this. It's not easy, but I'm going to. I've mentioned this before, I've mentioned this subject. There's a person in my life, a person I care about, a pretty cool person, and yeah, they happen to be a family member because that particular fact will be easily discoverable through logic from the following subject. So yeah, it's a family member, a cool person. I don't have any issues with the person at all, but I do have a disagreement. This person in my family has been using one of these genetic testing sites to build a family tree history. Which is great. I got nothing against that. And now has been told that there's additional information that they could not get unless they get a sample from me, a sample of my DNA. And so, soon enough, and probably already, unless, well, I don't know. I gave my DNA samples to the Army 20 plus years ago, but I also know the Department of Defense. Of all the crocodiles' great institutions, the DoD is incredibly fucking incompetent. So it's entirely plausible that the DNA that they have of mine is destroyed or gone. And so, yeah, I'm sure that there are institutions that are trying to collect as much genetic information as possible. And yeah, it could be the case that I just use the system so infrequently that they don't have my DNA. I don't know, maybe. I don't know. I don't really care. I don't care if they have a sample or not, but I'm not going to give them a sample. I don't want to get a report back telling me that I might have, cancer 28 or lymphatic butyrotomy. I don't fucking care if I have a genetic marker for some incurable disease. I don't want to fucking know. In fact, I consider it an invasion of my privacy. I consider it an absolute invasion of my privacy for anyone to tell me that I should either unlock that information about myself, or worse yet, force me to fucking know shit I don't want to know. If I don't want to know it, guess what? You got no fucking business knowing it. I don't care who you are. I don't care. And if your comeback is, well, Dan, if you don't know that you have disease X, then they can't put you on drug Y. Okay, well, I don't know why I would want to go on that fucking drug. I really don't. I don't know why I would want to go on that fucking drug to begin with. So yeah, I don't want to give anybody a sample of my DNA. And here's the other thing too. If you're to believe all the bullshit about the profound informational power of genetic testing, then why the fuck would they need more than a couple samples of my brothers and sisters? It seems to me they've got a few samples now. So, yeah, why would they need any more? It sounds like a fucking scam to me. It seems like a scam to get all the samples from a family and then unlock the rest. Well, you know what? I think they have that information. I think they have it. I think they already know it. They don't need the additional sample, but they want the additional sample. They don't need it, but they want it. So, yeah, I'm okay. If you're one of these people out there building your family tree through genetic testing and figuring out whether or not you're related to some ancient fucking queen or king, or finding out if you have some horrible disease that's going to kill you in 5 years, and you trust the system is honest and true. And that these companies, these medical testing companies, are honest and decent and true. If you believe all that bullshit, that's your fucking business. Although never, ever, ever question my Christianity, you fuck. Because you believe a lot of fucking nonsense. But if you believe it, that's your fucking business. If you believe these companies are safeguarding your information, I've worked in healthcare, so I know the answer. I have the cheat sheet. But if you believe they're protecting your information, fucking go ahead and believe that bullshit. I, for one, am not going to participate in this stupid fucking game. And like I said at the beginning of the podcast, the person that's asking me is a cool person. I love this person. I won't stop loving this person. He's one of the, well, this person's one of the most important people in my life. But I feel like he's being taken advantage of by these fuckers. I feel like he's being told a lie. Okay? If you have two or three samples of siblings' DNA, according to the propaganda about how much information is in DNA, then you have everything you fucking need. You don't need my random fucking, you know, combination of a deck of cards. You really don't. If they're telling you you do, they're fucking lying to you. And they're lying to you with the purpose of getting as many samples as they need. And here's the other thing, too. There's a lot more going on with genetic analysis than there used to be. And there's a lot more work on the concept of genes that are unlocked, or genes that become emergently unlocked. And because of that, there's information in a person's DNA when they're an adult that might not exist when they were younger. So here's the real deal, folks. They simply want to mine all of our DNA. That's what they want to do. And I'm not going to participate in that fucking game. I'm forced to participate in so many fucking crony, up-the-butt chicanery, broken, not free enterprise, communist, Stalinist, Federal Reserve bullshit monetarist games. I do not have to participate in this fuckeroo yet. No one is forcing me to give them a sample yet. And until they do, I don't care how much I care about a person. I'm not voluntarily giving any kind of samples to institutions I do not trust. I don't know why this is confusing to people. And frankly, given the history of how medical institutions have treated people, I don't know why you fucking trust them. I don't know why you trust them. I really don't. So yeah, I do care about this person. I want to help as much as I can. I don't think I've remotely explained in the past to this person or other people how I feel effectively enough, how I feel about these medical testing institutions. I do not feel good about them, and that's a really nice way of putting it. I don't believe that they're decent organizations. I don't believe they're protecting your data. And if you think HIPAA protects you, if you think color of law protects you, you're another statist who believes that these institutions still function. They do not. None of them work. They never did. They were never designed to work. You know, if you're one of these Hamiltonian, masturbational, tiny crocodile fucktards who, you know, ignores the fact that the first thing the fucking crocodile went after were Native Americans in the 19th century. If you're one of these believers in the broken constitution of the plantation, fucking go ahead. Believe in that bullshit. That is your business. That is your right. That's your free will. I don't care how delusional your brain is. I do not believe in that bullshit. So that's enough of that topic. I killed that topic. That topic is dead. DNA testing. Listen, folks, I've talked about this DNA testing shit before. There's an agenda in play here. This is not what people think it is. People think it's some kind of like, you know, people trying to learn about their past. No. I think that the institutions that are doing the DNA testing are a lot like Uber and Lyft. There is a darker, deeper agenda. There is. There's a darker and deeper agenda, and I don't think people want to think about it. I think that, you know, number one, they've known for a few years now that there are dynamic behaviors in DNA. So, like I said earlier, they want to collect, they don't just want samples of DNA. They want samples of DNA at different points in people's lives, folks. They want to see which genes are turned on and which ones are turned off, folks. So yeah, this is a big fucking data mining scam. And I'm not going to participate in it. And worse yet, I'm not going to let them, because probably they get a kickback from a pharma company, send me a result saying, we found something terrible, and you might want to get some testing so you can get on this new drug that, you know, might not cause you to bleed out of your anus. You know what? I don't fucking care. I don't care. If I have some incurable disease, I don't care. If you want to call me a Christian Scientist, I don't care. I simply do not trust the healthcare system. Period. I know I said the topic was killed, but this is what you need to be clear on. There are some people who work in the system who might still be okay, who still might be ethical. There aren't many of those people left. But there are a lot of fucking bullshit artists and essentially, you know, badly educated pseudo-doctors, basically prescribing the fuck out of shit. I don't want to have anything to do with it. So yeah, next topic. So it's June, it's June, it's June. It's June. And that means it's Pride Month. And we all know that pride inside, the pride inside, pride is important, folks. You know, of all the fucking ridiculous, deformed group thinkery that occurs these days, the pride shit's the worst. And I even kind of got suckered into it. First and foremost, I do not hate gay people, okay? I don't hate lesbians. I don't hate gay men. I don't hate you no matter which direction your junk points, okay? We all have junk, and our junk points in different directions. And as long as your junk is pointing at, you know, voluntary, consensual adults, as long as your junk is not, you know, as long as it's not pointing at, like, kids and people who are not consensual, as long as we're talking about adults having sex or whatever you want to call it in the privacy of their fucking home, not in the streets like fucking dogs, but as fucking human beings in a fucking private room with a door where I don't have to see it if I don't want to, and I don't want to, I don't care what you do. That's it. You want to know how complicated my philosophy is vis-a-vis people who are trans, gay, gay, trans light speed, furry, trans, what the fuck, intersectional, you know, rat anal. I don't care. As long as it's consensual, as long as it's adults, as long as it's not slave trade bullshit, as long as it's just human beings making choices to do stuff with their bodies in the privacy of a room and not in the fucking streets. As long, and if it's happening in the streets, if it is, if you're going to get all Diogenes about it, as long as I can walk away from your bullshit because I don't want to see it is my fucking point. It is true. I will admit to this. I've never paid for any online porn, but I have watched some free online porn. I'll admit to this. I know that I need to never do it again. I know I need to work on it. I know it's probably not right. I'm a Christian. I know it's not right, but I've done it. But just because I do that doesn't mean I want to see every random schmuck, you know, that looks like me, has a misshapen body like me, having some type of scrotious sex out in the middle of nowhere. So here's my point, folks. I don't care what you do with your junk. And as far as, you know, whether God cares, as far as like what Deuteronomy or frickin', you know, Leviticus might say about, you know, men having sex with men and women having sex with women. Folks, I've already talked about the first five books of the Bible. You need to watch the reboot of Battlestar Galactica four or five or ten times and then read those first four books because you do not fucking understand. Okay? These were people, okay, once they were kicked out of paradise and essentially for a very long time, these were people essentially on the run. After Exodus, they were literally on the run for 40 years in the desert. A nation's worth of people. Not enough food, not enough water, okay? Not enough anything, and lots of angry people, and a lot of heterosexual people that probably wanted to have lots of fucking sex, and probably a lot of gay people who could have lots of sex without creating a little problem called babies when, oh, by the way, there's not enough food, not enough water, not enough anything. A lot of really stupid people will read those first five books and not nearly get what the fuck was going on. So with respect to what the Bible might say about gay people, I still meditate on it because I'm not sure we really know. What I do know is this. Don't read, especially the four books following Genesis, do not read those books as if you can just glance through them. You need to meditate on that shit. That might be, those four books might be the most important books other than the New Testament in the fucking Bible. Everything else is important. It's all important. But there's a message there, and it's about people under extraordinary stress, trying to do the right thing, following God's plan. If you take it personally, if you say, well, I'm an intersectional, bi-gentrified, de-gentrified, deconstructed, female/male/furry/hippopotamus or something, if you're going to take that shit personally, if you're going to turn your junk into a political philosophy, I think there's something fucking wrong with you. You see, this is my issue with this whole Pride Month bullshit. I totally understand that people, all people, need to be respected in their space. And that even includes Uncle Dan, you fuck. You know, this little message goes out to all you fucking fuckers out there who think they have special rights to have their space respected. But, you know, if it's a middle-aged white man, we might as well dump him in a ditch. Well, folks, if you think you have a right to respect, that others should respect you, then guess what? That applies to everybody. I'm not trying to be a dick, but that's essentially true. So no, I don't care what people do with their junk. I don't care. It's not my fucking business. If you want to talk about it, I'll probably listen because I'm a fucking curious old fuck. If you have a beer with me and you're gay and you're a gay man and you want to talk about your gay sex, I will probably listen for the simple fact that I'm a writer and I might want to fucking incorporate that bullshit one day into a story. And I honestly don't give a shit what you do with your junk. If you're a good person, if you're a decent person and you happen to be gay, I don't give a fuck. I really don't. I'm, you know, one of my biggest sins is judgment, so I got to work on that. But if you're gay, but you're a decent person, I don't care. If you're gay and you're my manager and you invade my physical space and you start giving me, you know, little, you know, arm grabs and shoulder grabs and stuff like that that really are not welcome while I'm typing and shit, then guess what? I'm not going to react so fucking well. And this is, I think this is the point here. This isn't about pride, folks, because pride is only a few degrees separate from hubris. And believe me, pride almost killed me last winter. So this isn't about fucking pride, folks. This is about respect. This is about respecting yourself and respecting other people. If you respect yourself, you don't need to go around telling people about what you do with your fucking junk. You don't need to tell people about the different fucking angles. And you don't need to get so fucking obsessed about it all the fucking time if it's about respect. If it's about respect for other people, you don't go around telling people that not only do you have junk and it points in a certain direction, but other people need to obsess on it for a whole fucking month, even if they're Christians and even if they have questions. Valid fucking religious questions about whether or not this is something they should even be thinking about for a fucking month. But that's not where we live now. That's not where we're at. We are at a special place in American history, human history, where the groupthink is very much a controlled thing. I think it's controlled and it's manipulated and it's almost surgical. And its purpose is simple, to keep people so confused, so off balance, so focused on inconsequential bullshit that they can't respond to the stuff that actually has consequences, like the collapse of the ecosystem, like all this warmongering bullshit, like the fact that their basic dignity as human beings is being eroded every single day. So keep people focused on a lot of fucking bullshit around which direction their junk points in. Yeah, okay, some people's junk points in a certain direction. Great. I'm so happy that your junk points in a particular direction. It is not the basis of a political philosophy, people. You know, it's something about you. It may be something you like about you. You might even like playing with your junk. Guess what? I do too. You might even like putting your junk in other people's junk. Guess what? I don't have a girlfriend, but it would be cool to do that one day again soon. Who knows? Who knows? Stranger fucking things have happened, right? But beyond that, what the fuck is the deal? There is no political philosophy there. There is no science there. There is no logic there. It is reproduction. And if in your case, the combination of junk does not result in reproduction, in some ways you should count yourself fucking lucky. Okay? It's not that I don't want to have kids. It's not that I don't think kids are important. But here's the deal. Kids are a huge responsibility. So, as terrible as it might be to say, well, I don't get to have kids. Well, listen, that's a fucking double, yeah. That's a two-sided coin, motherfucker, is what I would say. Anyways, I think I killed that topic. It's Pride Month. You're supposed to think about your junk and other people's junk and which direction it points in and have really cool thoughts about that. So it's Pride Month. Pride in your junk. So I was thinking about the robot apocalypse because, to me, it's more interesting as a kind of urban mythology than anything else. And I was thinking about it the way people talk about it. And it occurred to me that in this mad rush for artificial intelligence and, you know, these really cool robots that places like, you know, I think it's, which robotics company? Boston Robotics? That has those really cool dog robots. Anyways, it occurred to me that if I was really, really rich and I had, and basically, provably, historically, my money essentially comes from fucking other people at this point in human history. I mean, if you're at the top of the pyramid, you're at the top of a disease pyramid. So it's just, it's not that complicated, folks. So if I was at the top of this really diseased, tyrannical pyramid, I'd probably want to build robots too, because the thing is, underneath me are billions of people who, you know, don't have enough food, not enough water, not enough anything. Eventually, it's going to get quite bad. And so you will need to have robots that protect you. I can imagine that that's why there's this mad rush for, you know, armed drones and armed robots. Because listen, folks, if things get bad enough, even the police officers are not going to get paid. Okay, I hate to break it to you, but even the public safety people will stop getting checks, or just as bad, inflation will erode their checks to nothing. And at that point, yeah, the cops will start working for the mob or whatever mob they can find. It's what happened to the Romans, folks. The Roman soldiers that were stationed along the border, as the Roman Empire, the Western Roman Empire, began to crumble, their allegiances changed. Their allegiances switched from Rome and from, you know, the governor of the province to the local warlords, even the ones across the border. This is already, if you want to ask me, I think this has already been happening, and it's going to just get worse. It's going to get to the point where the cops, per se, really won't be working for you at all. They'll be working for whatever local mob boss exists. This is reality. So yeah, I was thinking about this thing, this whole robot apocalypse, and it occurred to me that the real robot apocalypse will be just about rich people turning on some killing machines. I don't think they're going to become super self-aware and take over the world, but this is just as bad. I can imagine the wealthiest people in the world just using robots to kill the rest of us. And that's the robot apocalypse. If you want to know what it is, I think that's what it is. It isn't some fucking Skynet bullshit, but it very well could be a bunch of fucking semi-retarded machines with 50 caliber machine guns and giant chainsaws. Because here's the deal, folks. As I've stated in the past, and it's a reason for my use of the term for government, crocodiles are not necessarily smarter than you. They might be incredibly dumber than you. If you could play a saltwater crocodile at a game of chess, you would undoubtedly win. But that doesn't mean if you fought a saltwater crocodile, you would win. Unless you had a 50 caliber machine gun or chainsaw and maybe some, you know, some pretty good moves. The point is, no matter how smart you are vis-a-vis the crocodile will still probably eat you. It'll still probably kill you. If you're stupid enough to pick a fight with a crocodile. So these robots, they might not end up being that smart, but that's not the point. How smart do you have to be to blow shit up and kill shit and murder shit? You don't actually have to be that smart. You just have to be focused. You just have to be precise. They don't have to be that smart. They just have to be precise. So yeah, I can imagine the robot apocalypse essentially being a bunch of killer robots created by Bill Gates and Zuckerberg and all the other assholes. And the reason why I went off on this tangent is because I was thinking about this yesterday. I was talking to a friend of mine, a really cool dude, and we were talking on the phone, and I was saying, you know, yeah, things could get bad, and who knows what happens. Maybe robots do take over, or the rich people create, you know, murder robots to kill the rest of us, but there'll still be Christmas. You know, Christmas will still happen. People will still, they'll still have kids in the robot horror world, and yeah, Christmas will be different. Like, in the world of killer robots wandering about, Christmas time's going to be a little bit more poignant at times. You know, old Grandpa Glumbus might not make it home for Christmas this year because a robot picked him off. But yeah, I think there'd still be Christmas. I think people would still try. I guess my point is, don't give up. You know, I've spoken about Guy McPherson before, and I thought about interviewing him, and I emailed him, and I think he's a really good guy. I think he's a good guy. I think he has integrity. I don't know if I'm going to interview him because I think he's probably too intense for me, although that's saying a lot. So I'll probably email him and say, probably I'm not ready to do it, and I appreciate, you know, him, you know, returning my email or something. I don't know. But I will say this, I ponder the one thing about Guy McPherson's message that I do take issue with, not huge issue, but a little issue with, is this notion that there's nothing we can do. There probably, from his perspective, and given the information that Guy McPherson has about abrupt climate change and all the methane and methyl hydrates in the Arctic Circle and what temperatures required to cause mass expulsion and what that causes in terms of runaway greenhouse, he is a brilliant man. I believe that. I think he is a serious person. I believe that. And I think his message, if he is right, I think his message is genuinely a good message. But on the other hand, I still think even up until the last moment, we shouldn't give up. Even in a robot apocalypse, I think there would be robot apocalypse Christmas. Yes, Christmas would be terrible. And yes, old Grandpa Glumbus will probably not make it home. Aunt Philomena will probably get cut in half, you know, one of those Christmases, 2032. But there'll still be Christmas in 2033. Maybe. I don't know. I was going to talk about something. I'm going to scratch it off. I'm not going to talk about it. Just not going to. On my list. As you well know, I'm keeping a list now to keep track of to keep track of topics. I'm keeping a list to sort of keep myself organized. It's helping. It's helping with my podcast. You know, it's still very improvisational, but it's helping. And I do want to do more interviews. I just don't want to interview anyone right now that's more intense than me because I'm already too fucking intense. And I suppose it's kind of selfish, but I just... What is somebody going to tell me that the world could be ending? Well, frankly, ever since I was a little kid, I suspected that could be true. It's like people who will come up to me and say, Dan, you're too much of a curmudgeon for your age. And it's like they don't fucking realize. When I was 7, I was basically like this. When I was 7, I basically had a little, you know, bent eye, a little, you know, tilted eye towards the world. I didn't really trust most of it, and I thought it might be mostly bullshit. It's one of the reasons why I spent most of my life as an atheist, I think, because even God seemed like another kind of trick, another form of bullshit. And if you're raised Catholic and you go to Catholic school, you're exposed to a lot of Catholic bullshit, and frankly, I do believe some Catholics are Christians, but I do not believe the Catholic Church is a Christian church. I'm sorry. I think the Pope is Roman crap, and if you're into the Romans, and if you're into Roman worship and fucking paganism, then yeah, you would love the Catholic Church. But if you're an actual Christian, you need to fucking have a little, you know, skepticism about that bullshit. Oh. Anyways, I don't know what to say. Do I think the world is coming to an end? No. Do I think that human society is on the verge of some is going through, not on the verge. This is not on the verge. Do I believe that currently the human race is undergoing a period of change that is as rapid and as discontinuous as any period of change in human history, and probably 10 times that? Yes, I think that we're in an incredibly, incredibly strange time now. Events like this, economically, socially, culturally, technologically, periods like this happen once or twice a millennium in human history. They're rare. And sometimes the outcomes are really cool. That's the thing. You can't just say, oh, and therefore the world is doomed. That's bullshit. But sometimes the outcomes are quite terrible. And I'm not really sure if any of us know for sure yet what the outcome's going to be. I think people should do the best they can to prevent the terrible, but I don't know. What I do know is that people shouldn't give up. So I killed that topic. I don't know. And there's this other topic I want to kill preemptively because it deals with kind of what I just talked about. And it's like, why beat a dead horse? Okay. So, I was waiting for the bus the other day. And it's funny, a lot of my podcast stories could start with, I was waiting for the bus the other day, down where the filth accrues, down by the cracks and the crevices and this human gombus juice that is this world we call planet Earth. I was waiting for the bus one day. 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 I was waiting for the bus one day and down with the gombus goos the crews and the blimbus cubes, the grib and the gab, the gloop the gloop. Yeah, I was waiting for the bus one day. And this bus goes by with this fucking sign on it. I could barely read it for something that said Soylent, and it looked like a drink. And the thing is, I remember seeing the movie Soylent Green. And if you haven't seen the movie Soylent Green, Charlton Heston, 1970s flick, Pong technology. Yeah, so this sign on the side of the bus said, Soylent, healthy, drink, whatever. And it was one of those moments where I just wanted to, like, just say, what the fuck? What the fuck is a marketing team thinking? Either A, they're that stupid and oblivious, or B, they know exactly what they're doing, and it's more of this predictive programming bullshit. It's like, what? We're gonna have a drink soon. Soylent red, Soylent yellow, maybe even Soylent green. And you're gonna go and after you've given your voluntary DNA test, you get to eat, and you get to get your Soylent, which who knows what the fuck it's gonna be made out of? Probably rat carcasses. Probably the Glimbus juice that accrues near 12th Avenue. So yeah, this the sign for Soylent, it totally fucked with me. I don't know what to tell you. I want to say, oh, God. I sometimes pray to the Lord in heaven. Without actually knowing it, I simply look up at the sky and I say, Lord in heaven, what the hell's going on? That's what I do. I just say, Lord in heaven, what the fuck is going on? I know you don't like me to swear. I know it seems like a curse. It probably is. But Lord, dear Lord, what is going on? I don't know. Why would a marketing team choose the word Soylent? Why would Beecher's Cheese for All, Beecher's Cheese, use what looks like a pyramid with an all-seeing eye with horns sticking out to advertise for a cheese festival? And the only answer I can come to, especially when you look at, like, I won't even watch things like the Video Music Awards or fucking the Oscars because it's all like satanic Illuminati messaging now. They're all basically telling you that, you know, the world, the basically the devil owns the world. Like the stuff, the technology, the money, the banks, the houses, you might think you own some of it, but the devil owns all of it. And guess what? The last thing the devil wants to own is you. I'll tell you what, the other night, where that guy freaked out because I made the little hand motion mocking, you know, how people will just stare at their smartphones, and he was so deeply fucking offended. Boy, he should meditate on that shit. So deeply offended. But he was so fucking deeply offended. Listen, folks, the last thing the devil needs to own is you. That's it. When he's done with that, he wins. Anyways, I'm going to close out the Soylent Green topic. I'm not going to drink Soylent. It might be really healthy drink, but that fucking name is bullshit. They probably had to pay somebody for that name. Why they would choose to name a drink after the substitute for food in a movie where it turns out to be human beings. Soylent Green is made of people. I have no idea. But if you've not seen Soylent Green, I suggest watching that fucking movie before you buy your case of Soylent at Costco this weekend. So about a week ago, waiting for the bus, there was a crazy blue-haired homeless person screaming and yelling, and this is not an uncommon event, around Little Saigon. You can think of the homeless people as the kernels of popcorn that pop first. Everyone's going to pop soon. You have to understand something. Whatever you want to say about abrupt climate change, ecosystem collapse, global thermonuclear war, pandemic, you know, robot apocalypse, whatever you want to say about comets and calderas and fucking, you know, geoengineering, whatever shit you want to get scared of, folks, there's also the reality that we're in the midst of a plague of madness. And everyone has a theory as to why it's happening. My theory is simple. People are being fucked with. When you fuck with people, here's the thing about human beings. And Lincoln tried to say this once. There's a famous Lincoln quote. You can fool some of the people all the time and all the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. Well, I would basically simplify that message and say the following. You can't fuck with people forever. You can't fuck with people forever. Eventually, people pop like popcorn. Eventually, they go crazy. Eventually, they get really angry and they say nutty shit. That's eventually what happens. Eventually, you push people so hard, they simply lose it. It's like the bus driver yesterday. It's like me storming off the bus saying, Friday's bullshit. You know what? I felt yesterday was bullshit. I literally thought that entire day was bullshit, that I was going to go on strike against that day, that that day was bullshit, that everything that was going to happen after the Cirque du Soleil Asian incident would be bullshit. And that I would only see more bullshit. And there was at least a 50-50 chance that the bus driver got in control again. At least that's the way my mind was thinking at the time. He was just going to drive the bus into Lake Washington. And what's worse is I kind of had a smile on my face thinking, you know what, that might be okay. I mean, the thing is, listen, guys. I had to fight actual nihilism a few years ago. I had to fight it. It almost took me away from Christ. It almost destroyed me. I had to fight it in 2015 really bad. My so-called good financial year was one of the most nihilistic years of my life. I so fucking despised the human race. So maybe it would be better to call misanthropic than nihilist. Because I don't think I was ever really a nihilist. I cared too much. But I was very misanthropic. Very misanthropic. I had the idea that I would be up at their Riley Towers watching the world catch fire because people were stupid, so let them be stupid. There's nothing I can do. Let them be stupid. Let them do their stupid shit. Let them vote. Let them pretend that whatever they're doing is going to make things better. It's only making things worse. I'm not there anymore. I'm not misanthropic like that, you know? But it was tough. It was tough. Anyways, That's a bit of a tangent. But yeah, I was waiting at the bus. And this blue-haired homeless woman popped off like popcorn and started going crazy and started picking fights with the buses, too. Like, I don't mean, like, the bus drivers. I mean, literally, the buses. Like, you know, in Africa, you'll see those pictures of where a water buffalo will stand in the middle of the road blocking a bus? Well, in essence, this particular crazy homeless woman was like the water buffalo. She was picking a fight with the bus. She was standing in front of it. I don't know if she cared if the bus driver, you know, drove over her. I mean, maybe she thought she had superpowers. Maybe she thought she was an all-powerful witch priestess of the ancient order of the Normalian priestesses. The Normalian priestesses would dance naked before the moonlight. The ancient Norwellian priestesses of the ancient priestesshood. They would dance into the moonlight. The ancient priestesses, you can even hear them now with their bustiness. Yes, they would dance nearly naked in the night, you know, between the ages of 25 and 35 years old. Very, you know, very fit, you know, very busty, very voluptuous. They would dance and not wearing a lot of clothes, if we're being honest about it. Yeah, maybe she believed she was one of those ancient priestesses, okay? But she was standing in front of the fucking bus like she was a water buffalo, really angry at the bus, you know, blue hair. And it's funny, in some ways, that's the whole story. There have been a lot of angry homeless people recently, not all. Andrew up on Cherry Street is actually an exception. He seems pretty cool. I feel sorry for Andrew. I feel sorry for them all, to be honest with you. But the others are starting to go so crazy. You just don't want to make eye contact. Don't make eye contact. Don't make fun of them. Don't mock them. Just, if they're starting to go crazy, don't make eye contact. And that applies to everybody, not just homeless people, oh, by the way. So let's be fair here. Just because they're the ones who seem to be most under pressure and nearly to the point of going totally crazy doesn't mean other people are not going crazy. The bus driver lost it yesterday, and frankly, so did the large woman who talked about how he'd been driving too fast. Lady, all the fucking Metro bus drivers drive exactly like him or worse. I don't know what system she's been riding on. I don't know. Clearly, she was into something. But anywho, yeah. I don't know. It's just that I feel sorry, but at the same time, when you see somebody go completely crazy, and in Little Saigon, you get to see that a lot. It's like seeing the unshielded nuclear reactor. You know, I've been watching this Chernobyl series off of HBO off and on. I kind of canceled my subscription, so I probably don't get to finish it without, like, buying it or something, you know, a year from now. But I've watched enough of the Chernobyl episodes where the director basically tells his underlings, go to the uncovered reactor and look into it. Look into that nuclear reactor there at Chernobyl that no longer has any shielding. Look directly into the fucking cauldron of fuel rods and stare at the radiation. Yeah, so in Little Saigon, sometimes it feels like that's what's going on, that I'm seeing like the uncovered reactor of the collective unconscious of these people who are really starting to go crazy. And it isn't just the homeless people. It's everybody. It's everybody, folks. And I honestly believe if we were just more, I know this sounds cheesy and repetitive, if we could just be more honest and more true, whatever the truth is, listen, the truth might be horrible, but whatever the truth is, if we could confront the truth, if we can embrace the truth, I think things would get better. I think people would be less crazy. Yeah, maybe the truth is horrible. Maybe Guy McPherson is right. Maybe we're nearing the end of the world and there's nothing anybody can do about it, and the people in charge are, you know, basically pretending it's not happening or killing themselves or building bunkers. Maybe that's the truth, but we deserve it. I truly believe in my heart that if we discover the truth, we probably wouldn't go around killing each other. We might get really somber. Yeah, you probably would have absenteeism. I hate to break it to you. I probably would want to prepare backup teams for the nuclear reactors and other sensitive facilities if I was going to reveal the truth. But the bottom line is this: if there is an ugly truth that we all should know about, let's know about it. Let's hear about it. This is the thing that upsets people. This is why people get so fucking angry, and this is why they get crazy. Instead, we're giving people, you know, pre-19th century science bullshittery. Like, you get rats from rags and bullshit. Oh, homeless people, they just spontaneously arrive out of nothing. Oh, the rate of autism, that's just normal. That's just surveillance. Oh, cancer, that's normal. People living longer. Folks, we're being told that a lot of shit is normal that isn't fucking normal. It isn't. The weather has not been normal. It really hasn't been. If you have eyes to see and ears to hear and you can smell and you can breathe in Seattle in August, which you probably won't be able to breathe, you'll be able to see that a lot of this shit is not normal. Now, does that mean I have an explanation? No. Sadly, no, I do not. I, like so many others, have theories, but they're probably mostly bullshit. What I am certain of is that I'm being lied to. That's the only certainty I have with respect to the world. With respect to God, I know I'm only ever being told the truth. But with respect to the world, with respect to the realm that, you know, Lucifer plays in, yeah, these days I think I'm mostly being fucked with. I don't know. But yeah, I like thinking about the ancient priestesshood. Of voluptuous women between the ages of 25 and 35 who are busty and not really wearing a lot of clothes, dancing in the moonlight. I mean, that's what I would like to leave you with, that thought of the beautiful young women dancing before a fire in the moonlight. Although, truly, that sounds like paganism. So I'm going to stop that bullshit right there. If that was you, Beans, that was Beans. You know, I've come to realize that maybe Beans, when I was watching Beans this last December, while my family was in Hawaii, I got to watch Beans. Yeah, I got to watch Beans while my sister and her family were in the sun of Maui. I got to watch Beans while my sister and her kids and her husband were drinking fancy drinks and staring at sunsets and breathing clean air. There was no farts from Beans in Hawaii. Nobody smelled Beans there. It was like, it was me. And so, yeah. I think while I was watching Beans last December, he put a demonic parasite in my ear canal. Kind of like if you've ever seen The Wrath of Khan. And, you know, the little insect thingy that, you know, Ricardo Montalban sticks in their ears. A mind parasite. Yeah, so anyways, I think Beans, the French bulldog, put a mind parasite into my mind. And I think that when I talk about busty women doing ancient dances in really sexy ways around fires at midnight, I think that's really Beans projecting his bullshit into my consciousness and that's where I'm going to kind of go with that for now. Although I'm fairly certain Christ knows that that entire fucking rationalization, despite his mediocre playing on the organ, was bullshit. Christ knows this. And that's how we get to end this, because this is about truth, folks. It's about truth, being honest with ourselves, being honest with others. It's not so fucking easy. It's hard. It's hard to be honest with ourselves. It's hard to be honest with others. But sometimes we need to be. It doesn't mean you don't have a right to your secrets, too. Guess what? There are things that people don't have to know, okay? And if you don't know the difference, you need to fucking meditate on that. If the barn is on fire, people need to know that. If you have a crush on somebody, people don't have to know about that. And if you don't know the fucking difference between those concepts, I ask you to meditate and pray and maybe talk to somebody. So yeah, with respect to your life, there are things you have a right to protect, to have private, to keep secret. If I'm dying of some ancient genetic disorder, I don't fucking want to know. I don't want to know how much Neanderthal I have. I am fairly certain the Neanderthals, if they existed, because frankly, I'm a Christian, so I have lots of questions about the narrative, but I'm fairly certain, according to the logic of natural science and that cosmology, that if the Neanderthals existed, they were either raped or killed. Okay, there was no fucking Walt Disney movie, folks. The fucking Homo sapiens didn't come along and have a fucking West Side Story. It was raping and killing. And so what? I want to know if I had some Neanderthal in me to tell me that my ancient people, oh, guess what? My ancient peoples, my ancient Neanderthal peoples, they were basically raped. Nah, folks, or fucking find out if I have some disease. I don't care. I don't care. If I had kids, I might care. If I had a wife, I might care. I really honestly don't care. If I have some fucking disease at the age of 50, oh my God, Dan, you've got Gumbus disorder. You have Gumbus disorder. You're going to be dead in 30 years. I'm 50 fucking years old. I hope I'm dead in 30 years. And on that note, I'm going to say goodbye to all you people out in the Gumbus world, and I hope you're having a great Saturday so far. And to those of you who want my genetic samples, if you're people I care about, I still care about you, but I'm keeping my genetic samples. And that applies to all the girls at the bar, too.